Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It is World Junior Championship season.
Yes, it is, Adam. We're really looking forward to this. It's something we always gear up for. We're excited about it. Tons of prospects to talk about, not only prospects that are eligible for the 2022 draft, but those that have been drafted, looking to make their marks, maybe use this tournament as a platform to kind of springboard to wherever they may be, second half of the season, entering next season. It's been a whirlwind, right, Adam, with everything that's been going on with COVID and, players missing practices, in protocol. So it's kind of nice to have a tournament such as the World Juniors to kind of maybe put everyone in a mood to watch hockey, to watch the best under 20 age players in the world.
Well, we're not going to use the C word here because we've been using the C word in every other aspect of our lives, hockey included. So we're not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about the World Juniors and how, as you said, how great a tournament is. And I try to explain it to people who aren't hockey fans. It's the NCAA men's basketball tournament on steroids, because it's 10 teams, national pride, over what, a 12-day span with the entire world watching. And it's going to be in Canada, which it always is such a great environment. I've covered it, twice in person in Ottawa, in Saskatoon, and the passion of the fans that are in the building, I can't describe it to anyone other than it's just so intense and so magnificent. And now with fans in the building this year in Rogers Place in the arena in Red Deer, you're going to feel that passion in a way that maybe you didn't feel if you watch a tournament last year when there were no fans in the building. And it's a blast. It's going to be so much fun. And the players, look, we're going to talk a lot about some of these top prospects for the 22 draft, guys like Shane Wright, Joachim Kamel, Brad Lambert. We're going to talk about 23 draft already. We're already there with Matthew Michkov and Connor Bedard and it's a showcase tournament, and it might be the best. I'll say it is the best in-season tournament of the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This is the tournament where you get to see all those high-end prospects that you think are going to do so well in the NHL, in the future, come to light. They come to the forefront. Guys like Connor McDavid, really got their start and push at World Juniors to watch him excel. Jack Eichel was at World Juniors. Look at Troy Terry, right, Adam, and the heroics he had in the shootouts at the World Juniors, and now what he's doing with the Anaheim Ducks. So tons of players to watch this year. I'm really excited because when you look at the players, a lot of countries are going to be relying on, those 2022 draft eligible players. You look at a country like Slovakia, who has tons of really good, talented players that, one day could be playing in the NHL in 2 to 3 years. They will be drafted possibly top 10 to 15. And we're going to discuss Slovakia. It really is a tournament that we're all looking forward to, and it's going to be exciting.
And what's even more exciting is every game will be available live on NHL Network. And let's bring in one of the guys who will be part of that broadcast group, John Morosi from NHL Network. John, thanks for taking the time to join us today and hope things are going well for you.
It's a pleasure to join you guys. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, so it's great to be with you. Happy holidays to all of you today.
Yes, happy holidays to you as well, John, and thanks so much for joining us. So, John, I know you were watching selection camp for USA Hockey. Was there a player who kind of surprised you during that process, and what role do you see for that player maybe in the tournament?
Yeah, Mike, I love the question. For me, it was Dominic James. As someone who was not at the summer showcase and someone who I think really popped on the radar, you think about it, and the Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs, they were there at the same icebreaker tournament as Providence. So maybe he caught Nate Lehman's attention back during that early season series. I love his speed. I love his tenacity. He has not been a drafted player yet. And so I do think he brings this a bit of an unknown quantity and this hunger to him, where he was not necessarily a top prospect coming from the state of Michigan, goes to Duluth. And I love the speed that he's playing with, and he's going to be able to play center. There was even a time where we saw him having a Carter Mazur and Matthew Nyes on his flanks during the course of the camp here in Plymouth. So perhaps that's going to be a blend of their physicality with his speed, but certainly for a team that now is not going to have Thomas Bortolo, to have that additional center that they trust, I think is a really key asset now for Nate Lehman.
So, John, looking at the team, looking at the roster that's finally been set, what do you, when you look at it, what do you think of the team's biggest strengths are?
Defense. I think the defensive core is going to be mobile. It's going to be physical. I think based on the pairings, I love that based on the different opponents they'll play, the different styles of play, I think Nate Lehman is going to be able to have a group that he can sort of cycle together in different ways where you have the dynamic skating of a Luke Hughes, the all-around game of a Jake Sanderson, Brock Faber, such a solid defenseman. Clevin is a really physical defenseman. Morrow can run a power play. Ian Moore can run a power play. You've got three right shots. Jack Peart comes into camp late and joins in. So I think it's a really diverse defensive core that Nate Lehman and Chris Mayotte and the coaching staff will be able to pair together and maybe even have different pairings based on the type of opponent that you're going to play. And I think during the course of what's going to be a very fast-moving tournament where the games come quickly, you'll be able to adjust your lineup as needed based on the opponent and based on the strengths of your group. And again, when you have a defenseman like Jake Sanderson, who certainly from my perspective, I know John Beesbrook made the point as well, is basically an NHL defenseman right now. He could play for Ottawa right now. So when you have a defenseman like that that can anchor your group, and then experienced players like Faber and Clevin and Luke Hughes, who already has so much experience himself in a lot of different ways, it just gives you the ability to attack opponents a lot of different ways right now.
Yeah, I really agree with you there, John, with the defense and what we're seeing. I mean, three returning defensemen, you have two first-round picks, four second-round picks in that group, so very impressive. Looking ahead a little bit here, obviously USA Hockey always seems to have a player that is eligible for the upcoming draft, and this year in 2022, from USA Hockey, from the NTDP, it looks like Logan Cooley, has a real good shot to be a top five, top 10 pick in the upcoming draft. And he's going to play a vital role on this team, I would think. Right, John?
He will. I mean, he could very easily be the second line center, of course, as I alluded to, without having Thomas Bortolo. Team USA needs someone to play the middle of the ice. And I think from my perspective, when I'm watching these pre-tournament games, aside from checking out the goaltending scenario and how Drew Comesso looks, probably the other major question I have is, how does Cooley look playing the middle of the ice from a defensive standpoint? Is he able to do that? That, to me, is a huge question. He's someone that I think we have seen. I remember, Mike, you and I covered the BioSteel game earlier this calendar year in April before the draft. And I remember both of us thinking, this is one of the better players on the ice, and he wasn't even eligible for the draft in 2021. Yeah. He was that good, that dynamic against older competition. So we have already seen Logan Cooley be able to play up and play very well. His speed is there. I think his awareness, his creativity, a great motor. You think draft year, that kind of a player, maybe some similarities to what Matty Beniers brought to this team a year ago. And I think for Team USA to have success, they're going to need Cooley to play that prominent role. Are your four centers therefore going to be Beniers and Cooley, James, and maybe Savage in the fourth spot? I think that's a possibility. And I think a lot of expectations now go with Cooley. And also, which kind of players can play well off of the creativity and the speed and the pace of a Logan Cooley? Is it a Mackie Samuskevich? Is it a Matthew Coronato? There's some different options there. But I think, how do you arrange those lines to get the most out of Cooley? I think it's going to be one of the key questions in front of Nate Lehman. And also, does Ted Donato have him on one of the power play units? I think it's going to be one of the key questions there, Mike, as well.
You know, you mentioned it earlier, you know, is it going to be Drew Comesso? Is it going to be Caden Imbarico? Can they get close to what they got from Knight last year from one of those guys?
You know, it's a great question, Adam. I think it might be asking a bit much from this particular goaltending group to be as brilliant as Spencer Knight was. You think about the last we saw of him was a shutout against Canada. And that was a masterpiece. So that might be a little bit of a challenge. But I do think that this team can medal. They may even be able to win gold as long as there's the right working relationship between the defenseman and the goaltending. That's the big question I've got right now is, how can the defenseman keep the shots out to the perimeter? And I think especially early on in this tournament, Adam, to find a way to build confidence. I think we've seen Drew Comesso have some very good weekends in Hockey East against great competition. And I think he's able to keep that going as long as he has a good foundation, a good base. So I'm going to look very carefully against Slovakia, which is, I think, a very quality opponent to begin this tournament. Do we see the U.S. have a very good defensive outing that includes Drew Commesso in goal that builds some confidence? If Commesso struggles early, is Dylan Silverstein the guy that gets the call? Of course, he is in his draft year now. He is someone that, when you talk to people that have seen him play a lot for the U18s, he is very quiet in his crease, a very calm goaltender who notably, Adam, has shut out two different Big Ten opponents this year as a U18 goaltender. Think about that. He has shut out Michigan State. He has shut out Wisconsin recently. So he is someone that has a very good recent track record of success where I think that he might be the guy that gets the nod if Drew struggles. Again, I think plan A for Team USA is Commesso is going to be the starter and start, if not every single game, maybe all but one game in the course of the group play. But I think overall, Commesso is going to be the guy, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see a very extended look for Dylan Silverstein going forward there for Team USA.
That's interesting because, you know, you get a goaltender on a run there, it can carry you farther than maybe your talent in other areas allows you to go. So if one of those guys is able to step up, whether it's Commesso, Silverstein, or Embarico, it looks like the U.S. will be in good shape. But I want to touch on, you mentioned two players earlier, Jake Sanderson and Matty Beniers, you know, both guys who played in the tournament last year. You would have to think they're going to be part of the leadership group, but who else do you think either could emerge as the captain, or who do you think is going to be part of that leadership group for Team USA?
As we speak right now, I believe the captain will be either Beniers or Sanderson. I would expect Brock Faber to wear an A as well. He is someone that people really look to on this team. And Landon Slaggart as well. I mean, Slaggart plays a very responsible game. I look for him to play up the lineup a bit more now than he did a year ago. Nate Lehman always describes him as a Swiss Army knife. He's someone that, with his tenacity, his work rate, I think he brings out the best in his line mates. Brett Berard does as well. And there's a long connection there between Brett and Matty Beniers. Guys, they've been teammates and line mates going back to the South Shore Kings in Massachusetts more than 10 years ago. It's one of the stories that we're so excited to tell at NHL Network about these connections that go so far back. And so I do think Brett Berard could easily wear a letter. But I think you're hitting on all the right names. Sanderson was the captain of this team as a U18 player. And I think Matty Beniers, you think about him as the number two overall pick in the draft this past year. And just what he represents. You know, I have a chance to watch him play a lot here in Ann Arbor during the course of the season for U of M. And just the way that he plays, he brings such a tenacity and a real reliability in his play, handling the puck, always hunting pucks. I think he's someone that Nate Lehman would probably say he would take his exact performance from last year all over again with the possible addition of maybe a little bit more goal scoring. He didn't have to score last year because you had Caulfield and Boldy and Zegras. I think that maybe with Matty, a little more goal scoring in addition to what he did last year, I think is exactly the right recipe for Beniers. He may well be the captain. And by the way, guys, I think Mike and I saw this up close during the course of the camp. Matty Beniers is taller than he was last year. He's about an inch taller than he was last year. He looks even more imposing on his skates, and I just cannot wait to see what he's going to do in this tournament.
Yeah, that's right, John. I actually asked Nate Lehman about that. You know, does Matty Beniers look a year wiser, a year, you know, better? And he said, yeah, he looks both of those and an inch taller. So, yeah, he did get an inch taller, and good for Matty in that regard. And I also appreciate the fact you mentioned, you know, Landon Slaggart, the Chicago Blackhawks draft pick, and Brett Berard of the New York Rangers drafted in 2020. Both of those guys, you know, can do so much for a team. Very underrated in what they can do. Maybe they, you know, the stats don't show up on the score sheet, but they certainly do a lot for a team to excel. So I appreciate you mentioning those two players as well. But John, I wanted to get a quick question in here on our neighbors up north and Team Canada. Now, Kent Johnson is a player you're very familiar with. He missed selection camp and the first three Canada practices after testing positive earlier this month. But his first practice was December 19th with Team Canada, 8 days before the start of the tournament. So knowing what you know about the Blue Jackets prospects, do you believe Ken can get up to speed quick enough to become maybe that top six threat that we all know, you know, he can be?
I think he will, Mike. He's someone that has such creativity to his game. Loves to play, loves to think the game. He'll do stuff a couple different times during the course of a game at Yost on any given Friday or Saturday that just makes you smile and shake your head with just how he plays. So I think he's someone that, because of his style of play, because of how well his hands work, it's not going to be a long adjustment. And when you think about how Canada's power play is going to operate, you'll probably have power quarterbacking one of them, maybe Zellweger, the other one. And then it's just an embarrassment of riches up front. And the thing is, too, you've got a lot of centers for Team Canada who are elite. When you think about McTavish, who's already played in the NHL, Perfetti, who really is at that level, you would say already, Shane Wright, the likely number one pick. You've got some incredible players down the middle with any of your line combinations. And then you have the ability to mix in Johnson with some other highly skilled players. So I think that for Johnson especially, he's not going to be in a situation with these power plays where he has to really carry the whole unit from the standpoint of his talent. He can just sort of complement, pick his spots. I think his conditioning, his skating, even with the layoff, I think will be fine, more than fine, as it always is. So I think Johnson's going to have a very prominent role. And I just think, guys, to watch these two Canadian power plays, they might – the best two power plays in the tournament might be PP1 and PP2 for Canada. They might both be Canadian. That's how good this team is going to be, how much skill they have, creativity. And who knows, maybe Connor Bedard finds his way onto one of those power play units as well to go along with just all the forward strength. So Team Canada, I think the U.S. has the best defensive group. I think Team Canada has the best forward group in this tournament.
So, all right. So, John, Mike and I are going to do our tournament predictions for NHL.com. I'm curious, you know, you talked a lot about how good Canada could be. Who is your winner? And do you think the U.S. has a chance to repeat as champions?
I'm going to go with the U.S. to win it again. The U.S. has never won it back-to-back years. I think that the most talented team is Canada, yes. But I like the way the U.S. has been built and found a way to play in this tournament as successfully as anybody else in the entire tournament. I believe, look at the last 9 years, I think it's been 3 golds for the U.S., 3 golds for Finland, 3 golds for Canada. So I think that the U.S. finds a way to, in this set of 10 tournaments, find a way to get that 4th gold and set the standard. But the key thing for the U.S. is going to have to be goaltending. And of course, the goal scoring to emerge as well. The key guys from the U.S., I think up front, guys like Knies, Samuskevich, Coronado, they're going to have to score goals and I think really emerge as a goal-scoring threat for this team to find a way to win gold. I believe they will. So we'll say the first time ever, Team USA back-to-back golds in this tournament.
And the best part for us in the U.S. is every game is going to be available live on NHL Network. And, John, you're going to be part of that coverage. Can you tell the fans who are listening what that coverage on NHL Network is going to look like?
Well, I thank you for the question. Yes, it's honestly, and I love being able to work at both NHL Network, MLB Network. I'll tell you guys, this is probably my favorite assignment of the entire year. It's to be able to tell these stories, these players who are just breaking through. Some of them, of course, already first-round draft picks. So I was able to do some feature work at the World Junior Camp for Team USA. My plan is to actually go up there and continue working on features from site during the course of the medal round. And our first story, which is debuting here early on this week, Mackie Samuskevich from the University of Michigan, one of my favorite hockey families to tell stories about. The Samuskeviches, there was a day in 2018 where all three Samuskevich siblings played for Team USA on the same day. Melissa, his eldest sister, played for the U-20s. Maddie, his twin sister, played for the U-18s. And Mackie was playing in Slovakia as well for the Hlinka tournament back in 2018. So Mackie's an incredible story, this incredible family from Sandy Hook, Connecticut. So that's our first story. Got a big picture story for the World Junior preview show coming up later this week. So Sean Hyland, our great producer, putting all the pieces together. And again, I'm just so excited to be part of the coverage at NHL Network again this year.
John, I don't know. You know, Adam and I don't know how you do it. You know, with MLB, the NHL, and obviously you enjoy this tournament so much and we appreciate you so much. So thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We look forward to all the great coverage of the tournament on NHL Network. And most importantly, stay safe in your travels.
Thanks, Mike. You as well. And I appreciate you guys welcoming the commentary of my 3 daughters behind me who were chiming in at various times during the conversation.
Nice.
They're also big USA hockey fans, and they'll be watching with me as well during group play here and chiming in with their thoughts on Team USA.
Thanks again to John Morosi from NHL Network for joining us on NHL Draft Class. Mike, a lot of good stuff there on USA hockey. Logan Cooley, top prospect for the 22 draft. Sounds like he's got a chance to have a huge role for World Juniors, kind of similar to what Matty Beniers played last year at the tournament. And Matty ended up being the number 2 pick in the draft.
Absolutely. And you heard John talk about how, you know, Coach Nate Lehman may have Logan in that role where Thomas Bordalo might have been prior to his being released. You know, Adam, you know, Logan Cooley is that type of player. You know, a lot of good hockey IQ, and you saw that in selection camp, what he was able to do. I liked, you know, he went to Matty Beniers for advice. I talked to Matty Beniers about this, and, you know, did Logan come to you for advice to find out, you know, what he needs to do to excel, to succeed in this tournament? And he said, you know, I just told Logan not to defer to the older players, you know, play your game. Do what you need to do to be successful, because when you play your game, you are, you know, an exceptional athlete, an exceptional player and skater. And Logan's been doing that. He did that at selection camp. He's doing it now in training camp. And I believe he's going to excel in this tournament. It's a tournament made for those quick skaters, for those 200-foot players. And Logan Cooley is that type player, has a lot of poise. You know, he scored 30 points, had 64 shots in 20 games prior to the break and coming over to the U.S. National Junior junior team. So he's had a great season. He's actually doing a draft diary for NHL.com this year. You know, every month he has an entry and explains how his season's going and everything else. So I think Logan Cooley, for me, Adam, is a player that is going to contribute very well. We all know how tough it is for those younger players, for those, you know, 17, 18 year old players to excel in a tournament such as this, which is predominantly 19-year-old players. But I think Logan Cooley has the goods to really make a good impression for himself. And then on the Canada side, of course, Adam, we have the great Shane Wright and what he's been able to do for Kingston this year.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about Shane Wright now for more than a year, but this is the big year for him. This is the big moment for him. The spotlight dance is going to be all for him. You know, I remember we had our colleague Craig Button on from TSN, and he called him Patrice Bergeron with a capital P, you know, made that comparison. So now you're looking at, you know, that kind of skill set out of an 18-year-old. I mean, we watched him in the spring dominate the under 18s. Now he's got a chance to play, you know, against guys close to his own age at the World Juniors, but he's going to have a huge role. I mean, he's going to be Canada's, I would have to think, if not their number one center, then their number two center. He's going to play on the power play. He's going to be a guy that's going to be heavily, heavily relied on. And he's going to be a guy that everybody's going to be watching, but I don't know if there's any doubts on him being able to step up and perform in that spotlight. I don't think he's a guy that's going to cower from it. I don't think he's a guy that's going to do anything other than embrace the opportunity and the platform that he's going to have to showcase himself as the next, you know, number one pick of the 22 draft and the next big NHL star to come into the league.
He's motivated, right, Adam? You know, yeah. very motivated player. He failed to make the team last year. He's one of the final cuts for the team. So it's something that's been on his mind. He talked about it during select camp, how, you know, motivated he was to make this team and make an impact. And, you know, I'm with you. I think he's going to have a nice tournament. It's going to be fun to watch him play. And just as motivated as Shane Wright is for Team Canada, I think the entire, you know, Swedish team is motivated, because, you know, they lost for the first time and they had a consecutive game streak and preliminary round play for so long. And finally, you know, they were beaten last year in the prelims. They fell out of a top three finish. Sweden did. So the country is going to be motivated this year. Coach Thomas Monten has the guys going, you know, in training camp right now in Red Deer. You know, you look at their top three, that top line there is going to be exceptional, Adam. You got, you know, William Eklund, the great selection for the San Jose Sharks, and Alexander Holtz was a late addition. They weren't sure where they were going to get him or not, but from the New Jersey Devils. But sure enough, Holtz is there as well. So you have Holtz and Eklund, who have a history together, playing you know, for two seasons at Djurgården in the Swedish Hockey League. And then maybe you throw a Fabian Lysell on that line as well. So an embarrassment of riches for Sweden. And of course, Simon Edvinson, you know, the Red Wings prospect, he's going to have a huge impact, you know, for the Swedish team. And in goal, Jesper Wallstat, he's putting up insane numbers in the SHL this year. He's going to be a reason that Sweden could win a medal here if they do. You know, he's got that good maturity now, I think, Wallstat. And we talked about this, you know, leading up to the draft, right, Adam, that this is a mature player. And maybe it won't be long before it usually takes time for goalies to develop and maybe get to that point where they're in the NHL. But maybe Wahlstedt is that type of player that eventually is going to find his niche and, you know, being the NHL a lot sooner than people think. So I like what Sweden has for Russia. Coach Sergei Zubov has the boys going. You know, you look at what Russia has on the team this year. And obviously they're a club that has finished top three so many years, you know, standing at the World Juniors. You look at a defenseman like Vladimir Rudinin, who actually Zubov talked about when I discussed the team with him and how strong the club was on the back end. Goes about 5'10", 158 pounds. Now, he's a C-rated skater on Central Scouting's players to watch list. But, you know, Zubov talked about his speed and how sharp he's looked in training camp for Russia this year. So he's a player to watch. And then Daniela Yurov, the forward, goes about 6'1", 178 pounds. He's a B-rated skater. He really had good hands. He showed good hands, good speed for Russia when they placed second at the 21 World Under-18 Championship. He scored 11 points in that tournament in 7 games. And he's playing in the KHL prior to the break and now playing with the Russia national junior team. So another good one there. And then Slovakia, right? Adam, you don't talk too much about Slovakia, but they always seem
here.
Yeah, they always seem to be in the mix. And we're talking Group B here, the group that's going to play in Red Deer as part of the World Juniors. But they have tons of good prospects here. You know, Simon Nemec, 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's probably one of the top-ranked defensemen in this draft class. He was the Hlinka-Gretzky MVP. He was dominating that tournament, you know, 6 points in 5 games there. He's probably going to play big minutes for Slovakia in this tournament. Very well-rounded. Great mobility. He's going to play tons of power play time. He's great on the transition. And I really do believe he's going to be a top five, top 10 pick. Yuri Slavosti, the 6'3", 218-pound forward for Slovakia, versatile, can play wing or center, is mobile, good puck control. Another player that we'll look for, you know, with Slovakia and what they've been able to, you know, what they've been able to show in training camp this year. And, you know, we know that they're going to have those pre-tournament games as well. So we'll get to see a lot of what those players can produce then and leading up to the tournament. So it's going to be fun to watch those teams, fun to watch those players. And I know there are tons of, you know, a lot more good players in Group A as well. Right, Adam?
Yeah. You know, we talked about Canada and look, you can go up and down their roster. They've got what, 3 guys who already have played in the NHL in Mason McTavish in Anaheim and Cole Perfetti in Winnipeg and who am I forgetting? Oh, Jake Neighbors in St. Louis. So you've already got that. You've got a ton of guys like Caden Gooley and Donovan Sobrango who are already playing in the American League. So their experience, and look, it's going to come down to, as it always does, who's going to be the goalie? Who's going to take the reins for Canada? Is it going to be Sebastian Casa? How is he going to handle that spotlight? Will it be Brett Brochu? Will it be Dylan Garand, who I think he was the third goalie on last year's team? So you know, I think that's always the big question mark with Canada. You know, who's going to be the goalie? Can he take over? But I think Casa, man, 6'6", he's dominated in the Western League. Now he's got a chance to step it up against some real serious competition. But the team I'm really interested in is Finland. And, you know, third place last year. And the two guys that they're really going to rely upon are 2 A-rated players for the 22 draft and Joakim Kemell and Brad Lambert. Now, Kemell at 17 years old, started the season as good as any player in Liga, and that's the top professional league in the country. So you're talking about guys with NHL experience, fully formed, developed hockey players, and he was just dominant. You know, 18 points in 21 games. He scored 12 goals. He's still in the top 5, I think, in goals in Liga, and he hasn't been there in 2 or 3 weeks. So, and Brad Lambert, you know, that's a guy. His uncle is Lane Lambert, the Islanders' assistant coach. His dad played in the NHL, played pro hockey. So all the hockey IQ, that's what scouts really like about Lambert. You know, he's played in Liga since he's 16. This is his second kick at the can at World Juniors. But he's a guy that's really going to be heavily relied upon. He also, like Logan Cooley, is doing a draft diary for NHL.com. So he'll be able to share some of his experiences, not just at World Juniors, but for the entire season. So they're going to be a fun team to watch. And also, they're going to have the best defenseman from last year's tournament. Topi Niemelä is coming back, the Toronto Maple Leafs prospect. So I think, you know, we've talked a lot about Canada and the U.S., but I think Finland is a team that really could be a dark horse, you know, gold medal favorite if they can get the goaltending. Joel Blomqvist, who was on last year's team, he's back. So you'd have to assume he's going to be the guy in goal for them. But, you know, there's going to be some really, really fun play there in Group A. And we'll see what Germany's able to do. You know, they were the fun team last year, right? With all the, they started with the COVID issues, but they never really got too out of hand, you know, as far as the results, except for the one game against Canada. But they're not going to have Tim Stützle. They're not going to have JJ Paterka. They're not going to have Lucas Reichel. So it'll be a little bit of a chore for them to match what they did last year. But, you know, they're going to have Florian Eliáš is going to be back. So he was the center on that top line with Stützle and Paterka last year. So he'll be leaned on heavily for them. And you know, we'll see what Switzerland's able to do. They haven't finalized their roster yet, but Group A, it's going to be Canada, Finland, and then, you know, between Czechia, Germany, and Switzerland, we'll see who's able to rise up and take a shot at making the quarterfinals and maybe putting some pressure on some of the favorites.
Yeah, and one other player just to mention, and you mentioned in Group A there, Adam, from Austria, Marco Kasper, the 6'1", 183-pound forward. He's going to be drafted possibly first round, if not first, maybe second round. Good left-handed shot, plays with a lot of energy, an effective checker, can create scoring chances for his offense, and he plays with toughness. That's what I like about Kasper. He has the size to do that. He plays with toughness along the board. So I know Austria is probably not on the radar at World Juniors. You know, they might be in that relegation round. But if you're looking for a particular player to have some sort of impact among those teams that might be in the bottom half there, for Austria, Marco Kasper, keep an eye on him.
Yeah, 0-17 in four previous trips to the World Juniors, and scored one goal last year. But the guy who scored the goal, Senna Peters, who also plays in Halifax in the Quebec League, he will be back. So, you know, Senna Peters and Marco Kasper are definitely guys to keep your eye on. And we'll see. Maybe Austria could be this year's Germany.
Could be. We hope. Let's see. Let's see what they can do. No doubt.
So we talked about a couple of guys we got to touch on, though, before we sign off here, Mike. And we've talked about, you know, Shane Wright and some of the top guys for the 22 draft. Let's talk about the 23 draft already. And I know we're way ahead of it there, but we could be looking at the top three picks in that tournament. Connor Bedard from Canada, Matt V. Michkov from Russia, and Dalibor Dvorsky from Slovakia. I can't believe we're already talking about, if one 16-year-old makes this tournament, it's a huge deal. And now you've got not just two, you've got three, and potentially the top three players in the 23 draft. They're already here for you to watch.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, as much fun as it is to watch these upcoming draft eligibles, you know, we mentioned Shane Wright, Logan Cooley, to watch kids as, you know, underagers, 16, 17-year-old, making the team is quite an accomplishment, number one. And then number two, having an impact. And let's face it, you know, Matvei Michkov could be one of the best forwards of this tournament if he gets on fire and does what he's able to do and what we've seen in the past. I mean, when Hall of Famer Sergei Zubov is telling me he's a special guy, I mean, that means something. He hides his shot very well, and a lot of times he catches opponents off guard. So Michkov is a player I'm going to be really interested in watching, as well as Connor Bedard and what he's been able to do. So it's going to be interesting, Adam. I'm looking forward to watching these young kids.
So here's the list of Connor Bedard, other guys who've made Canada's, you know, World Junior team as a 16-year-old. Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky, Eric Lindros, Jason Spezza, Jay Bouwmeester. That's where Connor Bedard is. That's the group he's trending with right now. Those are the guys in his quote-unquote peer group as a 16-year-old making Canada's World Junior team. So, look, it doesn't mean he's going to be the superstar of all superstars. No, but he's certainly going to be a dynamic and very entertaining force to watch. And, look, Canada could have – you watch Canada play, you could be looking at the number one pick in the 21 draft, 22 draft, and now the 23 draft. Because, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, Owen Power – the number one pick of the 21 draft, the Buffalo Sabres prospect, is also probably going to be on Canada's top defense pair. So it's just going to be, and this is why we talked about the top of the show. The World Juniors is the best in-season hockey tournament, to me, anywhere in the world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Dvorsky, the other, you know, 2023 eligible, led all Slovakia scorers with 12 points, Adam, at the Hlinka Gretzky. And, you know, He's another player that could surprise here, because Slovakia does have a solid team, a solid unit. So looking forward to seeing all those 2023s as well as the 2022s. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to hitting it.
So before the tournament starts, you'll be able to watch catch all of our preview material on NHL.com. I know we've already started rolling some of it out. Mike has had one-on-ones with the U.S. coach, Nate Lehman, with Russia coach, Sergei Zubov. We've got group previews. We've got a whole host of other things to look for on NHL.com.
Absolutely, Adam. It was great to get John Morosi on with us. Gave a great preview of what USA Hockey will be entering this tournament, as well as some touched on some Canada things there. And it's going to be a great tournament. Really looking forward to it.
So you can watch the World Juniors on NHL Network, read about it on NHL.com. You can listen to it on NHL Draft Class. We will have more episodes coming as we get closer to the 2022 NHL Draft in July. But for now, if you enjoy the podcast, you can leave us a review, hopefully 5 stars. You can tell us what you think of the show. You can reach us on Twitter. I am at NHL Adam K. Mike is at Mike Morial NHL. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.